Good morning, church. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I am so happy this morning that I managed to come here and join you once again. Last time when I was here, I enjoyed being here. I saw a lot of children who were doing memory verses. That is very important. We want to thank God for that. And I saw a lot of young people who were here. I told my family that there is a living church in London. Let's keep on inviting our young people to be here always so that we may worship God together. We also want to thank God for Ethan. Amen, church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As the Bible says, train up a child. We have to do that. This morning, our sharing is going to come from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30, from verse 1 to verse 19. From verse 1 to verse 19, we will look at that passage. I will read some verses here, then we go into the story, but I will not read all. From verse 1, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Verse 2, and had taken the women captives and were within. They slew not any, neither great nor small, but carried them away and went on their way. Verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captives. David and his men that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Let's go to verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Underline that. Because of the souls of all the people were grieved, every man of his sons and of his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, I will go to verse 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. Verse 17, and David smote them from the twilight even unto evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. David recovered all the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking of them, neither small nor great, neither son nor daughter, neither spoil nor anything they had taken with them. David recovered all. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let me just give a preview of the situation we are sharing this morning. Permit me to, I usually want to be free and walk around. Right. The passage we are learning this morning is talking about the life when David was being pursued by King Saul. Right? Right. David ran away with 600 soldiers from King Saul. Let me quickly make it known to the church that at that particular time in Israel, there were six cities of refuge. When David ran away from King Saul, that's my opinion, he could have gone to one of the cities of refuge, because the laws the God had put in place, if somebody has offended or killed somebody by mistake, they can go to the city of refuge for protection. Are we together there? So David never thought of going to any of the cities of refuge. But what did he do? He decided to go to the Philistines. There was a city called Ziklag. The king of the Philistines told David, "We will give you a place of refuge. Come, you and your soldiers." They had also collected, or they were also taken, their wives, children, and their livestock. So the king of the Philistines gave David and his men the city, which was called Ziklag, to stay. Remember, this is chapter 30. If we rewind back to chapter 17 tells or gives us a story where we find David coming and fighting a battle. Is someone with me here? Chapter 17, David goes to the battle where Israel was fighting with the Philistines. And David killed the giant from the Philistines who was called Goliath. But remember, take note. Now David is going to the Philistines for refuge, running away from his own king. He is living in Ziklag. I don't know how many people would have gone to Ziklag after killing Goliath, who was a champion soldier of the Philistines. That's not where our story is. Let's move on. So, one day the king of the Philistines invited David with the soldiers who were in Ziklag and say, "I am going to fight King Saul. Come with me to go and fight King Saul," or Israel. If you think David, in his right mind, would he have gone to fight Israel? The Bible tells us what happened later. As they went to go and fight Israel with David and his 600 soldiers, the generals of the Philistines stopped and said no to their king. "We don't trust this man David. Are you sure that David will fight on our side when we are fighting Israel?" So they said, "We are not going to fight the battle as long as this guy and his soldiers are here. Please send him away." So David was sent away, and he went back to Ziklag with these men. The Bible says he traveled for 3 days. It was a long distance. So they traveled for 3 days. When they got, before they even arrived, they saw some smoke and they are wondering what's happening in Ziklag. When they came closer, they found out that Ziklag was burnt down. There was no livestock. There was nobody. Their wives were not there. Their sons were not there. Their daughters were not there. There was no sign of a living thing. Then the Bible, from where we started reading verse 1, as they arrived, they found out that Ziklag had been burnt down. And there was no sign of life. The soldiers, the Bible says, they cried so much that they could not cry anymore. I visualize the soldiers rolling on the floor. What has happened to my wife? What has happened to my children? What has happened to my life? They were all worried. Verse 7, that's where we find, and the Bible says, when that happened, the soldiers whom were with David, who were his only allies, they rose against him and they started picking up stones to stone David. Then the Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Let's move on. Now, that's the time when we find David in verse 6, 7, and 8, where he says he sent a message to Abiathar. Abiathar was the chief priest at that particular time of Israel. He says, Abiathar, bring me thither the ephod. And the Bible says Abiathar brought the ephod and gave it. When he came to David, then David inquired of the Lord. The Bible says, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue the soldiers of Amalekites who had raided Ziklag? Will I catch up with them? If I catch up with them, will I be able to recover all that they have taken? Then the answer was given. You can pursue, you will overtake, and you will recover all. Now, the question, I want to explain one thing here. I know some people might be now asking, but what is an ephod? Right. I want to explain this one. I take you back to the sanctuary service. We just want to know what an ephod is. The garment which the priest was wearing, it was like an apron. You know the aprons we have with ladies in the kitchen? It was like an apron, but now on the chest it had the breastplate, which was made using different stones or precious stones, as the Bible says. They were representing the 12 tribes of Israel. On the shoulders were other beautiful stones. Some writers say they were emerald, some say diamond, but there was one stone on the corner of the breastplate, another on the corner of the breastplate. The one which was on the right was called a Urim. The one on the left was called a Thummim. Urim and Thummim. What was the purpose of these two stones? The two stones were used as the key to open the storehouse of heaven. If you have a problem, you use these as the keys to knock on the heaven's door for the Lord to speak to you. So this is what David is asking. He is saying to Abiathar, the priest, bring me the ephod, that old garment, so that when he puts it on and he starts speaking to God, the heavenly doors are open. He is able to speak to the Father and he will answer him. How was that happening? When you are wearing these two, when you have them on the ephod, you will ask God. So like here, when he speaks asking God, God will answer. When the answer is positive, like go on and do what you want to do, the Urim will glow, giving a green light. God is saying, go on. It's all right. And at times he would give a voice to speak like he did to Moses on a burning bush. When he says no, the Thummim will also have a dim light to say, you are not supposed to do that. Now,
David has brought the ephod. He now inquired of the Lord what he should do about the situation that has happened in Ziklag. Then the Lord says, you can pursue. You will catch up with them. You will recover all they have taken. Let me just say to the church, for when I was reading this passage, I just realized that many times when we are on earth, we are faced with serious situations that we don't know how to respond, how to act, or which way to take. I don't know whether any one of us has been in a situation where you are confused, you don't know what to do, and you don't even know whom you should ask for an opinion. I would like to tell this church today that the times we are facing are harder than the times we have already covered. The confusion we will have in the future is worse than the confusion we have heard in the past. Let me just say to the church here this morning, when in the past, I will talk of my own experience. When the situation about COVID came, I listened to a pastor from the General Conference who was preaching. That gentleman was saying, never allow those people to inject you. It's terrible. On the other side, I listened to another sermon saying it will be foolishness not to be vaccinated in times such as we are facing. These are all ministers in our church. They are saying different things when we are faced with something that is terrible. We don't know what to do. Myself, I wondered, which way should I take? I would like to say to the church, the sun is a bit disturbing me here. I don't know which way should I be standing for. Am I okay here? Right. I got so confused, my elders. I did not know what to do. I called one pastor and he said, Claudius, on this one, no one will give you their opinion. It's now the time. You and your God alone. I want to say to the church, I don't know which direction you took. I had to knock on the heavenly door and ask. I will not tell you what I did. But you find out that there was commotion even in the church. We did not know which way to take. But I am saying that incident is better than what is coming. Where we need an ephod, I would like to say to the church, these are the times when the church should have an ephod, that you knock on the heavenly door to say, God, I have a question. I want you to tell me which way should I go. Someone is asking, David had a physical thing he was holding, which I have described here. But preacher, what do you mean I should have my own ephod? Let me tell the church, we don't have a physical ephod as David had one. But I want to say to the church, you can have a relationship with your father. You can have a way you speak to your father that at any point you kneel down when you have a question and you are praying. When you rise from your knees, you have the answer of the Urim glowing in your heart. You should go on. Or you have an answer of the Thummim on the left dimming to say, never take that route. I want to say to the church this morning, we have so many problems we are facing, even as families, whereby we don't know what to do. I am saying to the church, let us go and have a personal relationship with our God, so that when we face these challenges, truly we will have a way of moving on. Amen?
Let's go on. Let's now come to this passage. Now, I am now looking at the passage we are looking at. David had taken one point, number one. When David was faced with a problem, what does he do? David, as we said before, David ran away from his own. And he found refuge in Ziklag, the camp of the enemy. Definitely, I would like to imagine that at times, if the Philistines wanted to revenge, they were going to destroy all the 600 soldiers David had, because he was seeking refuge in the camp of the enemy. I want to say to somebody, when you have a problem, definitely, where do you run to? When you have a situation that is threatening your life, where do you go to? I want to say to some people who are listening to me this morning, some people have left the cities of refuge in Israel and they have gone to a Ziklag type of a city, seeking refuge in the camp of the enemy. Some might say, what do you mean, speaker? Do you know that there are people, young people or some elderly, who have had problems and they go, instead of going before God and pray, asking God to help them, they will go and take drugs and think they may have comfort from a drug. They will start using marijuana. They will start using all sorts of drugs, thinking they will have a solace from this situation. I want to say to the church, when we have problems, instead of going and find refuge in the city of the enemy, don't we have God amongst us to ask? Don't we have God to ask? Yes, we have one. Yes, we have our God. We can go to our Father and we can ask. He will help us. He will lead us. Now, David has taken his children and wives into Ziklag. Now, look, this is the time of war. David leaves the wives alone. He leaves the children alone and the livestock, and he goes to fight a battle that was not his. There are so many people who have put themselves in problems because they have gone to join the battles which are not theirs. If I would ask here, so many people have squabbles in the community, in the church, in the families. If you ask them, why are you having a problem with that sister? They will tell you, this sister wronged that one, who had wronged that one, and that one wronged that. There is a chain of issues which has nothing to do with them. I want to say, the battle you are in, is it really your battle? Or you have God to help the enemy fight his battle? David had gone to help, the enemy to fight the battle which was not his. Now look, I also would like to come and ask the church, who is taking care of the family? So many times we are running away from famine. We are running away from financial problems and we go to work. Let me tell somebody, let me tell my brothers and sisters, many times we leave our children, the youngest, alone in the home when we are going to try and solve some financial problems. Who is taking care of the children when we are away? Many times we will take the gadgets, we give them the iPads, we give them the phones, we give them the TVs, and we say, you stay here, I am just going for a short time, then I'll come back. Leaving our children in Ziklag, leaving our families in the hands of the enemy. The enemy will take them, he will even drive them away whilst we are at war, whilst we are thinking we are fighting a financial war because my mortgage may be in problems, I might lose my house and so on. Let me say to the church,
If we inquire of the Lord will give us solutions to solve the problems around us. Before you leave the house, I want to say to somebody, let's ask the heavenly soldiers to come and surround our families, to come and take care of our homes. Someone will say, what do you mean? Remember the day when God asked Job. He asked Satan, where are you coming from? And Satan said, I've been going to and fro on the earth. And God said, if you've seen my servant Job, the one who fears God, the devil admitted, you can't touch Job because his home is fortified by the Holy Ghost. If you go from the east, you can't go in. From the west, you can't go in. South, north. He said you can't penetrate because the house has been fortified. I am only saying, brothers and sisters, this is the time when you and me, before we go to battle, let's ask God to send heavenly soldiers to fortify our homes. We have lost so many children, including the speaker, because we have concentrated on fighting financial battles, fighting for that situation, helping that friend in their battle, and we forgot to fortify our homes. And now the enemy has come and taken our wives away. The enemy has come and taken our husbands away. The enemy has come and taken our children, our young people away. Why? Because we were in Ziklag and the city was not fortified. Now the Bible says here, when they came, the soldiers arrived, when they didn't find their families, they cried. I can imagine that they were rolling on the ground, crying bitterly. And the Bible says they cried until they could cry no more. I want to say to somebody here this morning, yes, the situation in which you are calls for you to cry. I imagine David at that particular time, he was crying. I imagine all the guys, they were crying. But my point, or the point I want to drive home is, how long shall you be crying over this situation? How long shall you be crying over this? So many people I know, yes, your friend betrayed you and took your husband. Your friend betrayed you and caused you to lose your job. Even your mother betrayed you. Your friend, your husband, your wife betrayed you. But how long shall you keep on crying over this? Is it not the time to rise up? I want to call somebody here. You have been rolling on the ground because of what somebody did against you. But I want to say to somebody, it's time you rise up, dust yourself, and say, enough is enough. The devil, I know your tricks. I will not cry the rest of my life, but I will call upon the Lord. The Bible here says, and that's when David rose up and he said, Abiathar, bring me the ephod. There are times when you have to rise up and stop crying and face the enemy so that the Lord will help you fight this battle. Before I proceed, let me just say, do you know that the Bible here said, when these soldiers came, there is something they did which was unbelievable. They picked the stones. What did they want to do with the stones? To attack David. To stone David. These guys were together in the battle. They have come, they find Ziklag gone. They blame it on David. Let me say to the church this morning, this one is mainly for the leadership. Many times when the church agree, let's do this thing together. If it fails in the future, people are good at pointing fingers. People have pointed fingers at pastors. People have pointed fingers at leadership because something has failed. I want to say to the church, let us not be like the soldiers of David who were pointing a finger at David because their children had been taken by the Amalekites. Let's come together. That's the time we unify and we ask ourselves, what shall we do? And David says, we need an ephod. The Lord has to lead us in whatever we are supposed to do so that we may recover what we have lost. Yes, I know we have lost. Yes, we have cried enough. But why then stoning each other? If we were to do an investigation or research here, you will find that some people no longer want to hold offices in church. Why? Because when they had been asked to do something, to lead a certain department, when things did not go on well, people picked stones and they wanted to stone the Sabbath school superintendent. People are not coming early to church. People pick stones against the Sabbath school superintendent. People are not returning tithes. People pick the stones. They want to stone the head elder to say during the reign or the leadership of elder so and so, people were returning tithes. Now we have nothing here. People are picking stones. They want to stone somebody who is innocent. Is it the time to pick stones and attack each other when our wives are gone? Is it the time to pick stones and attack each other when our children are gone? Is it the time to attack each other when our livestock are gone? I want to say many times the enemy wants to cause more commotion instead of unifying. Somebody did not hear me. The enemy wants to cause more commotion at a time when we should be more unified. When we have problems as a church, we should unify more and come together and seek the face of the Lord than to throw stones at each other. Let's move on. The Bible says when they wanted to attack David, the Bible says, but David comforted himself in the Lord. I see him. As they were picking stones, David did not try to defend himself. He said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Whence cometh my salvation? My salvation comes from the Lord, which made the heaven and earth. As they were picking the stones to stone him, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He goes on talking about the Lord who is his keeper. Sister, they have been attacking you. They have been picking stones to destroy you. You cannot fight back. When they are picking stones, why don't you look up and ask the Lord to fight your battle? This battle is not yours, but this battle is for the Lord. When they are trying to stone you, you should not fight back. They have said a lot about you, and you know you are innocent. You cannot defend yourself and try to make your name clean. When they are talking about you, lift up your eyes up to the hills. Whence cometh your salvation? Yes, it is not time to fight back. It is time to look up. It's not time to resign from the office. It's the time to look up. Yes, they have blamed you for things you cannot control. What can you do if people are not coming early to Sabbath school? What can you do if people are not returning time? What can you do if you're the pathfinder leader? The parents are not bringing their children. They will blame the leader. Instead of coming together and pray for our children, I want to say to the church, it is most important when the enemy is attacking us to try and divide us, is the time to come together. Pray for one another. Pray with one another. It's not the time to fight and be divided. Now, the Bible here says, as I come to the close of this service, The Bible says, David now has prayed unto the Lord. David has inquired whether he should go or he should not. I want also to say to this church, do you know that there are some people who may be asking me, was David serious to ask whether he should pursue when his wife has been taken from home? Is he a real man who will ask, should I pursue my wife? Should I go after the person who has taken my wife? Yes, he was a real man. Do you know that there are some wars that really look like they are worth fighting when they are not? David knew the wife had gone, knew the children had gone, knew the livestock had gone, but he wanted to know when he was asking God, shall I pursue? He wanted to find out if he goes to this battle, was the Lord on his side? There are so many people, sister, you come home from work. You have been working hard as a nurse and you get home and the husband is gone. He is gone with your friend and they are enjoying life. And you think you are justified to just put your bag there and drive to go and fight a battle. I want to say to somebody, before you pursue, why don't you kneel down and ask God, shall I pursue? Will I catch up with them? Sister, you may pursue to fight this battle and you come without a skin on the face when you have fought a losing battle. You have to find if the Lord is with you in this battle. No matter how justified it might look for you to go to battle, find out whether the Lord is with you when you are on this battle. Is the Lord going to come with me? David inquired, and the Lord says, yes, I will come with you to this battle. It is important for you to know when you are in this battle, will you overtake? There are some people who have gone to these battles thinking it was justified, but they lost the battles and they did not manage to do what they were doing. When we come to the end of verse 19, the Bible says, as I was reading and finding out, do you know that the Amalekites, had, when they had defeated the city of Ziklag and taken everything, they send messengers ahead to tell them that we have managed to conquer Ziklag. We are coming with beautiful women. We are coming with beautiful young ladies. We are coming with young people who will be our servants. We are coming with spoils of herds of cattle and sheep and goats. Please slaughter some cattle, slaughter some goats and sheep so that we may celebrate. Did you know that when the enemy thought they had conquered you, they had not started the battle? There are some people who have cried out thinking the enemy has managed to conquer us because the wives have gone, the children have gone. But I want to tell you, the battle is not yet won. Your God will fight for you. Don't lose up. Don't give up. Don't give in. The most important thing you must do is finding out the Lord is on your side. They were parting. The Bible says when David and his men arrived at the place, they found some were already drunk. They were dancing and cheering, happy, looking at the beautiful ladies and beautiful young ladies. They were partying and drinking. The Bible says David rounded them, and in the twilight, in the evening, he started fighting them. He fought them for 24 hours, night and day, until he managed to destroy all of them. Those who escaped, they jumped on the horses and ran away. I want to say to you, finding out that the wife is not there, it doesn't mean the enemy has won the battle. finding out that the children have not come to church here, it doesn't mean the enemy has won the battle. Yes, the only thing you have to do is to find out whether the Lord is on your side in this battle. I would like to say to the church, those whose children have gone, not finding them in this home, it doesn't mean that the enemy has won the battle. Yes, with our Lord, we can pursue. Yes, with our Lord, we can overtake. We will find them. Yes, the Bible says, and David won the battle and he recovered all. With our God on our side. I don't know what we have lost. I don't know what you're crying about. Is it that the children have left the faith? Is it that your husband has gone? Is it that the wife has gone? Is it the problem from your workplace? The enemy, the battle is not yet won by the enemy. Ask the Lord. Ask Abiathar, bring me the ephod. When you ask the Lord, please come with me to my battle. And the Lord says, the battle is no longer yours. He will take over to fight the battle. Yes, it might be against your friends, against the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, your sons, your children. If you are with Jesus on your side, God will fight the battle. And he says, this battle is not yours. Stay put. I will fight the battle. Pharaoh perished in the Red Sea. Because God says the battle is not for Israel. I want to tell the Israel of today, you have a battle which you want to go and fight. Hold on until Jesus tells you, I will come with you to the battle. Above all, as a church, we have to come unified, pray together. Don't pick the stones. Don't stone each other. When things are not going on well, come together, hold hands, kneel down, and call to the Father above. He will rise up and fight our battles. Let me just say to the church, in the end, we will recover all. May God bless you.